Morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Henry, if you don't know that. It's good to see you this morning. And you know that if you were here last Sunday, we began a new series called Spiritual Heart Check. And if you were here, you'll remember that we learned from the Bible in Proverbs 4:26 that above all else we should what? That's right. Guard our hearts. Above all else, guard your heart. Okay? Guard your heart. Be careful with it. Watch out for and protect it. Guard it. Above all else, guard your heart. What does it mean to guard something? When we're told to guard an object, what are we called to do? Okay, that's right. To protect it, we're called to do two things. To keep it safe from harm, right? To protect it against danger. We're also called to provide for it, to equip it. When we guard something, we do two things. On the one hand, we provide for it. On the other, we guard it. We guard it against certain things. And these next couple of Sundays, we're going to be talking about that aspect. Guarding it against certain things. Things that may cause it harm. How many of you have ever seen a doctor for a physical or for a wellness visit? Anybody ever been to the doctor? Yeah? Okay. Now, when you go to the doctor, your doctor, the person who helps you monitor and guard your physical health, what are some of the things that they ask you during your wellness visit?
Lifestyle.
All right, what about it? What do they ask you about your lifestyle?
Diet.
Diet, all right. They want to know about what you're eating, right? Okay, what else? What are some of the things they ask you? Do you smoke? All right. Do you exercise? Okay. Yeah. Do you exercise? Okay. Anybody else? What does your doctor ask you when you go for that? Okay. Do you have a history of heart attacks, or is it in your family history, right? A little health history. How was your mom and dad's heart? Right? How was your grandfather's heart? Okay. Anybody else? Are you under a lot of stress? Okay. I like it. They want to know about how things are going at home, at work. Right? Yeah. Okay. Do you get mad easily? All right. How your daily life is. Okay. Somebody else said something over here. Anybody else? What does your doctor ask you?
How do you feel?
Okay. They want to know if you see anybody else, right? Sleep patterns. Do you sleep? Okay. Does this look familiar? Doctor ever pull one of these out? Maybe not this one per se, right? If they do, I just encourage you to maybe get a different doctor, okay? Oh, wait. They may not be guarding your health like you want them to if they pull this out, right? That's exactly right. They pull this out, right? Take a deep breath. And they listen. Right? They want to know what's going on inside, right? This past Monday, our daughter Megan takes dance lessons. And the owner of the shop over there, Linda is her name, was talking about her heart. And she exercises on a regular basis, very healthy, a lot of natural remedies. But while she's been exercising lately, her heart rate will get up to about 140. Then after a little while, it'll just drop. Drops like down to the 70s or something. So she's like, this shouldn't happen, right? Yeah, no, right? That's what she said. She goes to her doctor. She explains what's going on. He's like, no, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't happen. She's like, it is happening. What are you talking about? It doesn't happen. I'm telling you, it's happening. And he's like, no way, that can't happen. So she says, give me a heart monitor. And so she says, watch. So she gets on a treadmill, gets her heart rate up, and then all sure enough, boom. Right? Her heartbeat dropped. A symptom, right? Things are not quite right. A year ago when I was at my doctor, he pulled this out. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Right? He's moving around. Then all of a sudden, it kind of gets that wrinkled face, you know, while he's listening, and you're like, uh-oh. You don't want that face when your doctor's listening to your heart. It's like, breathe again. And again. And he's getting more intense. Right? And he's, you can see that he's listening harder and harder. He goes, "You got a murmur there." He goes, "I don't like that." And I'm thinking, "Thanks." And he's like, "I don't think your valves are closing quite right." He goes, "You guys should go get that checked out." So then he sent me to a heart specialist, and they put me on this thing, and I took pictures of it and measurements and all these things. I went back this year. He said, "It's not too serious at this point, but you gotta watch out for that, right?" Went back this year, and it just happens I'm tall. So that sound comes because the blood's got a long ways to go. And I'm like, "Oh. So how about that, right?" That was nice. It was nice to hear, but you know, a year you're thinking, "Well, what is really going on in there, right?" And I'm thinking, not so good. Right? But he heard something, right? Something that, "Oh, that's, you should check that out." They take our blood pressure. They want to know our resting heart rate. Right? There's certain things that they ask us that they're looking for because they can say, "Oh, that's healthy," or "You should be concerned about that." Guarding the health of our spiritual heart is not much different. There are certain things that if we're aware of, we can say, we can notice. There's certain symptoms out there that say, "You should look into that. You should watch out for that. You should guard against it." When we look to the Bible, which we'll do in just a moment, we learn that there are certain signs and symptoms that you and I need to be aware of it when it comes to our spiritual hearts as well. Symptoms that we need to watch out for. Signs that let us know when things are not too healthy. Symptoms that warn us that we need to focus our attention here because the health of our spiritual heart is at stake. And this morning, we're going to look at four signs, four symptoms. Four symptoms that expose for us or help us understand whether or not our heart is healthy or not so healthy. And there's symptoms that come up when we're dealing with other people. So would you pray with me? Father, as we turn our attention to Your Word, to some of the symptoms of our spiritual hearts, it's my prayer that Your Spirit would be at work among us. Lord, allow us to see the things that we need to see. Allow us to hear the things that we need to hear. Lord, use this time to give us a window into our heart. Prevent us from running away or ignoring or dismissing any of the truth that You would seek to speak to us this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of these symptoms is unwholesome words. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. If you need a Bible, there's a stack of Bibles over there. And it's found on page 690. Matthew chapter 12. In this chapter, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of His day. And they were trying to challenge Jesus and some of His teachings about what makes things good and bad. I'm going to begin reading at verse 33 of Matthew chapter 12. Here Jesus says, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good?" And He says this. He says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do I know about the health of my spiritual heart? Jesus says, listen. He says, listen. Listen to the words that you say. The health of our heart can be recognized by its fruit, Jesus says. By the words that come out of our mouths. Jesus says, because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart, you and I can tell the condition of our heart by simply listening to what we say. This past week, I was watching American Idol. How many of you watch American Idol? Any American Idol fans? Yeah? Okay. While watching American Idol, I was reminded of this truth. Take a look.
But our next contestant wasn't just thinking about Hollywood. He had someone special looming in his head.
Oh, wow. I'm very excited about performing in front of Mary J. Blige. She's an idol herself. She's just big superstar, and I really want to meet her. Today, no matter what the judges say, I will respect their opinion, and I love taking constructive criticism, and that's what I plan to do.
Powerful, Lamar. Randy.
Lamar, man, I got mad love for you, man, but that was kind of torturous, man. I mean, the pitch was all over the place. It was like, I don't know.
Another song for you?
No, it's not that, man. I just don't think you're that good, man.
Sweetie?
Yeah, Lamar,
you know,
dude.
You're 19 years old.
I'm 20.
Okay, 20. I'm not going to say that you're a terrible singer because you're
I'm
not.
I'm really
a
shocked because that's not true.
But
that's
hold
not
on,
true.
I'm not going to
no,
say
she
that.
Said she's
I'm
not
saying
saying
I'm not going to say that.
Dog, are you a good listener?
I am a very good listener.
Okay, so listen to us for a second. It wasn't great. There's a voice in there somewhere. You need to do a lot of work. I don't even know if you're really for this level. No, dog. Don't say anything else, dog. Listen, I asked if you were a good listener, and you keep singing.
Lamar, let me give you one little bit of advice. Lamar, hold on. I want to just share something with you. You have to find some humility in order to do this and pull back and stop. Listen, and stop trying to exalt yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. You're running. So just you need to do the work,
relax.
Sweetheart. You haven't done the work yet. So let's take a vote.
Lamar, no. I'm going to say no because you're not ready yet, dog. I feel your passion. But see, you're not even listening.
Baby, I compare you to a
dog, what are you doing, Lamar. Dog?
Lamar, we're trying to help you.
I don't understand. I really don't understand.
Lamar, listen.
I mean, y'all
sweet.
Telling me basically I can't sing.
No,
that's
we
like
said
that's
you
not
have
to sing. Nobody said
that's
you couldn't
nobody
sing.
Nobody said that. Nobody said
that.
It wasn't great today, dog. You're not ready for this level. We're trying to find the best.
Yeah.
We're trying to find the best. You
We're
want the best.
We're trying to help you here, honey. We're not trying to hurt you.
This is crazy.
La, 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 honey, right off the bat.
La, 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 la. Work on that vibrato, dog.
Oh,
really?
That's not
I love you.
That's
yeah.
not cool.
This The whole American Idol show.
Kathy's right. It's easy for us to sit and chuckle, and we do. I was working on this message, and Lamar comes up at night afterward. I'm thinking, whoa, right here we go. Perfect example, Lamar. Right? And we can say, oh, yeah, Lamar's heart, not too healthy, right? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But then what about our hearts? Right? It's easy for us to see Lamar's heart. But what about our hearts? What do the words that you and I say about the condition of our hearts? Right? If we were to listen to a recording of our recent phone conversations or our dinner table conversations, what would we hear? If someone read back to you your recent text messages or your Facebook posts, what would they say about the health of your heart? For out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks, right? If we were to listen to those, what would it say? Right? What would it say? Jesus says, guard your hearts by examining your words. For out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. If we hear unwholesome words, Jesus says we need to check our hearts. Our words let us know about the health of our heart. But so do our thoughts, Jesus says. Turn with me to your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 15. Just a few pages over. In this chapter, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees once again, but His disciples are there too this time. And once again, they're talking about what makes a person clean and unclean. And in verse 16, where we begin, Jesus is talking specifically to His disciples. And I love this question. He starts, are you still so dull? Wait, great. What a great question for your followers. Are you still so dull? Jesus asks them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what makes a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hand does not make him unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, Jesus says. What is going on in your mind when your mind is free to wander? Jesus says, take a look at that. What do you think about? To where or to what or to whom does your mind wander? Where do your thoughts go? Just like our words, Jesus says, our thoughts also come from our hearts. How do I know the condition of my heart? Jesus says, examine your thoughts. What's going on in your head? Our thoughts, like our words, let us know about the cleanliness and the condition and the health of our hearts. What do you think about yourself? What do you think about other people? What is it that you dream about? What is it that you wish and you hope for? Jesus says, examine these things. These are a window. These are a way for you to know what's going on in your heart, because that too doesn't come from just anywhere. It comes from the condition of your heart. Unless you say what you're always thinking, the problem with thoughts is that only you know what's going on in here. Right? Only you and God knows. And only you can examine your thoughts. So what's going on there? How do I guard my heart? How do I know the condition of my heart? Jesus says, listen to the words that come out of your mouth. He says, reflect on your thoughts. Why? Because both of these flow from your heart. In addition to our words, and in addition to our thoughts, the Apostle Paul says, guard your heart by also watching out for anger. Anger is another symptom that lets us know about the condition of our heart. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Found on page 829. Here Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus about how they should live as Christians. And in verse 25, beginning of verse 25, he says this. He says, Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths. Words again. Right? But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ and God forgave you. What does Paul command us to do when it comes to anger? Does he say never get angry? When I was in seminary, one of my classmates believed this is what Paul was saying here. He says, never get angry. I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty hard, because there's a lot to be angry about. Now, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Paul says, do not let your anger fester or stick around. Why? Because of what persistent anger can do and what it does to our hearts. He says, if we go to bed angry, has anyone gone to bed angry? Am I the only one who's ever gone to bed angry? No? Okay. How does that work for you? Right, when you go to bed angry? You don't really sleep, right? Get on your pillow there, curled up under the blankets, right? Right? Mark's smiling over there. He went, all right, sweet. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Right? Then you wake up in the morning. How does that feel? Right? Haven't gone to bed angry. Oh, you're fresh and ready for the new day? Then bedtime comes again, right? To crawl in, oh, sweet, right? If we go to bed angry, if we let anger fester for a day or two or more, what happens? What happens, Paul says, is we give the devil a foothold into our heart and into our lives. A foothold on which he can stand and create havoc. Right? Havoc in our hearts. If we go to bed with it, it creates havoc in our sleep. Right? You're nodding. Right? We don't sleep well when we're angry. Right? Creates havoc in the morning. So then the kids want something. What do you want? Right? Your coworker shows up. Good morning. I know what a shirt is. Creates havoc in our relationships with others. I'm driving home on Wednesday. And my route is down Monroe, take a left on Michigan, and go up the Michigan Hill. If any of you have been up the Michigan Hill lately, you know it's in a perpetual state of construction, so you never know what's going to be happening there, but there's usually a concrete barricade or two. So two lanes go down to one, or three lanes go down to one, so you got to merge. Well, I'm going up, and two cars are coming down. Well, there's a barricade in the way. So the guy on the right decides, I'm going to hit it, and I'm going to cut this guy off. Sure enough, he does. Cuts him off. Guy behind, like, what in the world? Whoa! Hits the horn. The guy in the front didn't like that. Why is he honking at me? So he honks. Rolls down the window. Gives him a finger, and it's not the thumbs up. Right? Guy behind him sees that, rolls down his window, gives him a finger, right? It's not the thumbs up. These people were pretty angry. Then they went down the hill, so I don't know what happened, but I'm sure there was a stoplight there, and then I was glad I was going the other way. What does anger do? What did it do for that brief driving experience for those two guys? Gave him a foothold. If we don't deal with it, it creates havoc. Havoc at home, havoc in the car, havoc at work. Persistent anger is a symptom of heart disease. Paul reminds us that unresolved anger lets us know that the devil has a foothold in our heart, a foothold that needs to be dealt with. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, get rid of rage, get rid of anger. Finally, Paul says, watch out for grumbling. Turn with me to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10. In this chapter, Paul is reminding the church in Corinth about the importance of their hearts through some history lessons, through stories of Israel's history, the history of God's people. He's reminding them of certain things that have happened in the past so that they learn about the present. Beginning at verse 6, he says this, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." So Paul's worried about the condition of the hearts of the people in Corinth. He says, now learn from these guys. Right? Don't be idolaters as some of them were. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. It says we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. Then he says this. He adds this to sexual immorality and idolatry. He says, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. He says, watch out for grumbling. He adds grumbling to idolatry and sexual immorality. Paul's referring to Israel's grumbling and is found in Numbers 14. Later today, you read that story. Israel is right on the verge of crossing into the promised land. And the report came back. Hey, it's great land there, but there's a lot of powerful people there. And all of a sudden, everything's going up for grabs. They're like, oh no, oh no. And they start grumbling and complaining to Moses. Oh, if only we were back in Egypt. You brought us out here and we're going to die. Oh my word, things are coming to an end. They're grumbling about the circumstances that they found themselves in. Then, oh, if only we could get back to Egypt. Which if you know anything about their history, it meant, oh, if we could only back to being enslaved by Pharaoh and working without any rest and doing all those things. Grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. 40 years Moses had to deal with their grumbling. It wasn't a new problem. But it's a heart problem. Do you know of people who are very rarely happy? Always complaining about this or that? If only I had this, if only I had that, if only this didn't happen. Are you one of them? Have you ever grumbled? Paul says consistent grumbling is a heart problem. The reason we complain is because our heart is someplace else. Besides where we're currently at, we complain because we long for something different. And usually we long for something about the things of this world. One of the things that hit me this morning as I was going over this before I came to church is that when we grumble, more times than not, we grumble about the things of this earth. Oh, I wish I was making six figures. Oh, I wish I had more vacation. I wish that person didn't sit in the cubicle next to me. Very rarely do I hear people grumble about who God is and what He has done for them. Usually it's about things of this world. Very rarely do I hear people grumbling about God and the things that He offers. Tell me this. When was the last time you heard somebody grumbling about forgiveness? Oh, if only God hadn't forgiven all of my sins. Oh, I wish He hadn't done that. Or grace. Man, oh, boy, do I wish God wasn't so gracious. Man, that just drives me nuts. Or blessings. Man, I am telling you, if only God hadn't blessed me in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Boy, I wish He hadn't done that. Or love and eternal life. Man, if only God didn't love the whole world and then give His only Son that whoever believed in Him would not perish but would have eternal life. Boy, I wish He hadn't done that either. Do you hear people grumbling about those things? When we grumble, it's usually about the other things. When it's persistent, Paul says, check out your heart. Because then your heart has moved. It's moved away from God to other things. Use it as a check. People of God, how is your heart this morning? When you look at these symptoms up on the screen, do any of them resonate with you? How about that YouTube video? Struck a chord with Kathy. What did it say to you? Is the Holy Spirit calling out to you this morning to examine your heart on account of any of these? Do you need to guard your heart against any of these symptoms this morning? Above all else, the writer of Proverbs says, guard your hearts. Above all else, guard your hearts. How do we do that? How do we know if our heart's being guarded? Jesus says, listen. Listen to what you say. Reflect on what you're thinking. Examine if there's unresolved anger. Are you grumbling? Are you complaining? Take a look there, Paul says. Spiritual heart check. In these next few moments, we have an opportunity to reflect. And as you do, you're going to find little bins around. Little bins that look like this. And inside there's little pieces of paper and some pencils. And I invite you to look at any of those symptoms. And if they resonate with you, the Spirit's talking to your heart. I invite you to write down what He's saying. We have an opportunity to examine our hearts. When you're finished writing, I invite you to bring it over here. There's some glue, watered down glue, in brushes right here. I invite you to paste it on the cross. An opportunity to do a heart check. Where are we at? What is God saying to us? What is Jesus saying about the health of our heart? Reflect. Journal. And then bring it to God. Reflect. Write it down. And then offer it to God. We have a little moment of silence here for a while. Allow you to do that. And the worship team is going to come up in a little while to sing some songs. We're going to use these next couple Sundays to examine our hearts. To examine, to journal, and then bring it to God. All right? being willing to look inside and get at the heart of the matter is not always an easy thing. Dealing with some of the symptoms of an unhealthy heart, being able to take an honest look, can be intimidating, can be fearful. But if we do, our God gives us a promise. It's a promise that's found in Ezekiel 36. And if we're willing to come to Him with our hearts, our broken hearts, this is what the Lord says. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. Then He says this. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. If we're willing to open up our hearts before God, right? If we're willing to be able to see a symptom, reflect on it and bring it to Him, His promise is to give us a new heart. Takes our anger and replaces it with joy. He takes our potty mouth, right? And He replaces it with words that build up and encourage. He takes our impure thoughts and He makes them pure once again. He promises to give us a new heart. So I encourage you over these next days and weeks to be open. Be open before your God. Allow this promise to become a reality for you. We're going to sing two more songs. Two more songs that talk to us about what our God does for us who lay our hearts before Him. As we do, I invite you also to offer yourself to your God. Offer your time, your talent, and if you have a tithe, bring it up here. But let's sing these next two songs.